This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you're well. Jewel, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
We're trying not to get blown away
today. No, oh my word. Yesterday, it was so nice yesterday. And then it blew. We went out to dinner, and it was blowing all over the place. And we took another dinner drive down to the Glider Diner, and Charlie Lestrange came out, and he said, "Hey, thanks for the shout out. Somebody called to tell me you gave me a big shout out." I said, "Well, I'll take care of you, Charlie." And so once again,
excellent.
Everything was delicious. Five of us went down, and it's just a nice place. They're open a little bit later, you know. They're open till 9, so it's kind of nice. And it's good food and good people are there, and it's nice. I see someone every time I go there. So shout out to Charlie and all of his staff. They do a great job. But anyway, when we came out of there, it was snow flurrying, and it was so windy. I had a cape, and it was like blowing all over the place. And now this morning, and then of course it was crazy during the night. And now this morning, because we're taping part of the show today, it was beautiful again leaving this morning. The sun was bright and shiny, and came out of the Hilton after this wonderful breakfast we had for the International Women's Day, the Chamber, and the Athena Award. And it's freezing cold, and the wind is blowing like crazy. But what are you going to do? It's March. March winds.
March winds.
But so anyway, speaking of that, the breakfast that I just attended was lovely. It was, again, like I said, International Women's Day, and the Chamber puts that on every year, and it's also the time that we deliver the Athena Award to the most deserving recipients every year, and Linda Thomas Hemack was the recipient of the award, the Athena Award for 2025, and she's just a brilliant, brilliant woman. She's kind and lovely, and I just love her to pieces. And just what she does is amazing. The Wright Center and all of what they do is unbelievable. And she just was surrounded by so many people. I was talking to Mary Marrera, who I love, who's her board member, and she just loves her. And Kara Seitzinger, who I love as well. They're just delightful people, and they're all involved and have been for years. As Linda said, she's there 35 or 30? I can't even remember now. It's either 25 or 35 or 36 or 26. I can't remember. Long, long time. So it was wonderful, and she's so, so deserving of this award. She's incredible. She gave such a beautiful speech and spoke about her husband and how supportive he is of her. and her, in her career, and they have three children, and they live in German, and the Wright Center's big building up there in German, and all these German connections. Tammy Saunders came over later, and she's from German. She's one of Linda's best friends, and Billy Davis was there representing State Rep Kyle Mullins, and he's from German. So I said, what, do all roads lead to German here in this group? So it was lovely. A lot of good people. Saw a lot of people I haven't seen. I love it. Honesdale National Bank was the breakfast sponsor, and they have an incredible president of their bank, president and CEO, and Kate, and I can't remember Kate's name at the moment. Wait, I do. I have it right here. She's a doll. She gave a lovely speech, and it's so good to see these people. It's just unbelievable because Kate Bryant, president and CEO of the Honesdale National Bank, where Liz Nagy and my dear friend Ray Sakati work, and they're wonderful people, and that the bank just does this every year, sponsors this, and they do a great job. And then it's so good to see a woman in that position. It's incredible. So hats off to you, Kate. I just met her, and we talked, and she's lovely. And Liz Nagy, who does an incredible job with the bank, she's a lovely girl. Talk to her. And Ray's my good buddy. I met him on the chamber board. He's just a doll. And Donna and Mike Barbetti sponsor the Athena Award itself. So our good friend and best buddy of ours, Donna Barbetti, presented the award to Dr. Linda Thomas Hemack. It was great. And then there was the keynote speaker who was incredible. Her name is Dr. Katie P. Desiderio, D-E-S-I-D-E-R-I-O. And she said they call her Dr. D. And she was so good. She gave me one of her books, The Beekeeper. It's Pollinating Your Organization and for Transformative Growth. And what she was saying is the reason it's The Beekeeper is because bees are pollinators. And she said that that's what we should be doing out there. We should find six words that describe ourselves and stick to it. And it's okay to make a mistake one day, and as you're writing your narrative of your life and who you are, if today wasn't the best day, you have the opportunity to change, turn the page and start over. And it was just she was incredible. She has spoken before at the Empower, the women's leadership program that the chamber puts on, and she came today as the keynote, and she is a delight. What a force. It was wonderful. I'm telling you, all the way around, it was great. So we had a nice morning. The Hilton did a nice job, and Meyer dropped, Miss Peterson and I dropped our rears off and picked us up, and it was perfect. So we had a nice morning. So hats off to the chamber for this and what they do, to Linda Thomas Hemack, Dr. Linda Thomas Hemack. She's incredible, a doll, and full disclosure, she is my primary care physician, and I absolutely love her. And she's it's just great. It was a great morning. Honesdale National Bank and Michael A. Barbetti, who sponsored the breakfast and the award, and so many wonderful women in the audience, few sprinkles of great men, but the women were there and in force, and it was great. And if you want to look at this book, it's called The Beekeeper. Look on Amazon and check it out. If the book is anything like, and I'm sure it is, how this woman spoke today, Katie, Dr. D, you will absolutely love the book. She has a new one coming out, and she said to thank your star circle, that everyone in your life gets you to, helps you out to where you are. And she said, so if you leave here today, don't forget to thank the people in your life who are part of your star circle. So I'm going to publicly say to you, Miss Julie Diemel, thank you for being part of my star circle. Thank you.
Oh, it is a pleasure. Thank you for saying that, and I feel the same way, Laurie. Thank you for being in my star circle, which I didn't really think about before having one, but I guess we all do, don't we? That's a great point.
Yes, we do. It is, and it's the way the universe works. It all goes, and Linda Thomas told some beautiful stories of she's in the right, she always believes she's in the right place at the right time, and some of the things she spoke about, you get the chills because you think, oh, my God, like she really is. So and really has been. So it was really good. And everybody, Deb Kosofsky sat at our table, and she won last year. Deb's a superhero at PNC and a longtime Scranton Cultural Center board member. Her sister Marlene Torch and I worked at Third National Bank years and years ago together. And I love Marlene and I love Deb. And it was just such a one. Michael A. Barbetti was in the house sitting with us. Deb Peterson, Christine, I just love her, at the Chamber, Mari. And it was and Bob Durkin. And we had a great table, Katie, Dr. D, and it was great. So we had good morning and just good. So remember, it was yesterday when you're listening, International Women's Day. And as far as I'm concerned, every day is Women's Day, Julie. So go girl. Yeah. Girl power, baby. But anyway, speaking of girl and boy power, Jewel, I was hit with some canine energy. My dogs were out on the deck, and they were like crazy the other day trying to get out. And I'm like, what? They must see something in the yard. Well, yeah. I have feral cats that are in my yard, and they've been here for years. Sometimes you see a couple kittens with them through the years and whatever. I like them around because they eat. They keep the chipmunks away, and the chipmunks can be destructive to my strawberry patch, and it drives me crazy.
I hope they're not
the chipmunks aren't around. I get that's what I meant. That's why I was a Freudian slip. But I but they keep them away from my strawberries, and the last couple of years I've had beautiful strawberries because the chippies are not there, so they're sent packing by my feral cat. So anyway. Okay. Under the tarp, because my furniture from my deck and my patio get put in a corner of my patio with the tarp around it. And so the cats find shelter, which is fine. They're smart throughout the winter. And they go on the furniture underneath the tarp. And it looks like wicker, but it's plastic. I mean, so it doesn't hurt anything. We clean it off. We sterilize it. We bring it out. They don't harm anything. So, I didn't realize that the dogs must have seen one of the cats go under there. So that's what they were trying to do. So when I let them run, the two dogs ran right underneath the tarp trying to get this cat that they saw go under there. Well, the cat must have been scared out of its wits. It ran through the yard and up my maple tree in the back. And these dogs, I swear, climbed halfway up that maple tree to get that cat. It was hysterical. But I felt so sorry for the cat, and then the dogs kept coming back and running, and if you could have seen them underneath that, I said it looked like a shot of Batman and Robin when they're all like in that like dust cluster and they're like pow, bam, slam. That's what it looked like under there with all of these animals at play under there. It's funny.
Don't worry. That cat, that cat will return the favor at some point. She'll get them back.
Oh, I know.
They don't take anybody.
I know. And then on another note, speaking of kitty cats, my our dear friend Debbie Rafalco McNulty's mom, Nancy Rafalco, passed away on early Wednesday morning. I had the privilege of sitting with Nancy and Evie on Tuesday night at a wonderful hospice of the Sacred Heart inpatient unit, which is where Nancy was for a couple days. And I just want to give a big shout out to my dear Nancy. She was my favorite gal. I loved her dearly. And I tell everybody that if you have someone in your life that isn't your relative who loves you and adores you and puts you high up on a pedestal and makes you feel like you're the only person in the world, was Nancy's relationship with me. She called me her China doll because I looked like one of her dolls when she was a little girl, except her doll had black hair and mine had, and I'm a blonde, so which I've talked about before, but she's the most delightful person I've ever met. I just loved her. She was fiery and feisty and caring and loving and loved all animals and said to me one day, you know, Laurie, you know those animals, they have a real pointy face and a long tail. I said, you mean a possum? She goes, oh, they're so cute. And I wouldn't describe possums as cute, but that's what Nancy saw, the cuteness and the beauty in all living creatures. Loved animals more than people. And she used to feed that possum, and Evie said that that damn possum still comes back to the porch to get fed. And Nancy fell and broke her hip back. No, she fell there. I wouldn't doubt if she was feeding that possum when she fell and broke her hip, and that just kind of was the last couple months have been torture for her. But Evie is an incredible lady, incredible daughter, and as Donna Barbetti said, how fortunate is Jim McNulty and Evie's sister Robin and Nancy Rafalco to have a wife and a sister and a daughter who took such good care of them? How lucky are they to have Evie? And that is really the truth. Evie took such good care of her mom. Her mother she was always doing for her, always, always. Nancy, that's how I got to know her so well, because she was always so just part of her life. And she's just a delightful lady, and I love her. So I just want to say publicly how sorry I am to Evie, but how fortunate I am and blessed to be able to have met her. And as Tracy Doherty said in her email, she said, Evie, you're a watered-down version of your mother. And that's exactly it is. The mother was wild, wild, wild. Evie has got a wild streak, but her mother took the cake, and I loved it. So I love you, Nancy Rafalco, and Godspeed, my girl. I love you until we meet again. And we are going to take a break, and we have the delightful Mr. John Cardone, who's going to come on and talk about the Scranton Cultural Center and all stuff that's going on with the building and all the repairs and the work that you see going on, and he'll be right with us. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden.
the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Julie, tell them what you can do for them.
Thanks so much, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Jewel. And with us is one of my favorite guys. We've known each other for over 20 years, had the pleasure of working together for many, many years. And it's Mr. John Cardone, and I will tell you a little bit more about him. But one thing I could tell you, that John and I could be at a meeting, and we could go toe-to-toe, and as soon as the meeting's over, we say, LC, you want to get a coffee? I talk about that all the time. He's the best. I love his wife, Agnes. He's a great guy. He knows more than the average bear when it comes to this beautiful facility that we love and adore, the Scranton Cultural Center. John is the general manager as well as the technical director of the Scranton Cultural Center. And, John, we appreciate you being here. We want to talk a little bit about all of the magic that is happening there and what is going on to make that place an even more spectacular, restore it to the wear and tear through the years. It's almost 100 years old, and the wear and tear and the people and the things that have gone on is tremendous. And, John, I'm going to tell everybody straight up before this even happens because I don't want to forget. I know 100% the work that goes into what you do, what the very small facilities staff does to keep that place in what it does, the turnover of event to event, for everything, the wonderful IATSE union who works so closely with everybody there. They're a great group of guys and gals. And again, the way they work together with you, John, and the facility staff is incredible. But I'm telling you, nothing happens like you walk in and it's magic. The work that goes on with John's leadership and sprinkled on down is unbelievable, the work that happens there. So hats off to you, to the crew, to the union, to everybody there. Great group of people, and all under John's leadership. So, I mean, as far as the direction of the building and what goes on there. So, John, hats off, buddy, and let's talk a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, thank you, LJ, to go back
LJ,
ways, but
it.
We mispronounce each other. And Julie, thank you for having me. And I see by my watch we're just about out of time. So thanks, everybody, for having me.
Here, listen, we talked enough about me, so what else can you say about me? Anyway, go ahead, John.
Yes. Well, as you said, the building's complex, and it's a beauty, and it's one of the architectural gems of our region, certainly up there among probably the top five in the state, and I'd put it up against any other similar facility in the United States. Of course, there isn't a similar facility in the United States because of our famous heritage and the architect Raymond Hood, who designed this place in the 30s and got us up and running. And we struggle every day with a small staff to make sure that the public doesn't see the underpinnings of what it takes to get this place moving. But we've just entered a really wonderful time here. We are under about a year and a half's timeline now for restoration and reconstruction of various areas of the building. So all the underpinnings are going to be exposed over the next several months. So people have seen scaffolding for about 2 years outside and wondered what was going on, and that was in preparation of repairing all of the exterior doors and windows and the limestone facades. We're going to replace all of the roof structure, the rubber roof membranes, and all the original roofing are coming off and new is being placed in, but all according to the original designs and drawings. So it will be a true restoration. And that's part of what I've specialized in for a long time prior to getting here, is working on historic structures and getting them restored as close as possible to the original, wherever practical. The Cultural Center will, let me dispel another rumor right off the bat. We're not closing. I think we made the mistake early on, we being me, of saying, yes, we're shutting the theater down for a short time this coming summer for interior repairs of the theater, and that morphed into the cultural center is closing for 2 years. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah.
I would be on a beach in Puerto Rico for the next 2 years, uh-huh, waving at everyone.
But, uh-huh.
As I sit here right now in my little corner of the office, I'm surrounded by drawings that our friends at Highland Associates have prepared for this project, along with the state of Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission. And underneath those are all of the draftings and copies from the 1920s when the building was first being built, so that we can cross-reference and check back to the originals and see if what we're doing is in line with what was done then. So that's a fascinating part about this job, that all these records exist and I get to delve in them all the time. It's an exciting time here.
Yeah, and you do it so well, John. I mean, you're from the lighting end of things, and how the ability you have, the lighting director position, and that's what your degree is in. Isn't lighting design part of your undergrad degree, John?
I have a design and management kind of combination degree,
okay,
and the emphasis was on stage lighting, which then kind of morphed into architectural. And when I got here to the Cultural Center, all of a sudden I became an expert in regional dance lighting for all the dance studios.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's true.
And that's been a fun part of the job.
John, to see these young kids and then to come back later who then get married, it's amazing to see that, because they want to be back where they were when they were little kids on stage, and some of them were just little and didn't dance again, and some danced from little right up to, you know, early adulthood. So mm-hmm, it's amazing to see that, and the work that goes on and the weddings, and it's amazing.
It took me a little while here to appreciate that, because my former job at a different theater didn't have the history that the Scranton Cultural Center, or as a lot of people still lovingly call it, the Masonic Temple, had in the region. So when I would be meeting with a group that was coming in to have, in the beginning, maybe a party or a fundraiser, and they would say, oh, I danced here when I was a child, I didn't think much of it at the beginning. And then as I saw all the connections that created, and now we're in our 11th year of our own youth theater program, and we've shepherded kids from second grade all the way through high school and off to college, and I firmly believe we're going to see some of those come back to have their wedding reception or whatever here.
Yep.
It's a remarkable line and lineage that we have of regular people. This isn't royalty,
yep,
or the rich and famous. This is Scrantonians and Northeastern Pennsylvanians that just love this building and come back to see it as many times as they can, whether it's to attend a show here or have their reception here, sadly occasionally to have a funeral luncheon or a service here. We've seen it all, and God, I'm just so honored to have been part of it for the last 24 years. It's been a really incredible run to watch this building grow and the programming grow. And, you and I started way back under a different,
mm-hmm,
set of directors,
Joanne
and
Framiotti,
board leadership,
yep,
and mm-hmm, Joanne had a tough job. She had to be a sheriff in a town that never had one in terms of how the building got used once the Masons turned it over. And she really wrestled this place into shape so that when I came on board for the technical side, I had a lot fewer fights to fight.
Right.
And her sense of art and culture and programming really, really helped establish the Cultural Center and give
absolutely
it that push. And the directors since have all brought their own specialty to it. Matt
right
Flynn brought
open a swing in the doors open.
Cigars.
Yeah.
Matt basically took the building out of the shadows and
right
said, come and use us. And I don't know what it is you're proposing, but we're going to make it work. And
right,
that blew the doors wide open for possibilities,
mm-hmm,
here. And now with Deb Peterson here for the last bunch of years, we got that youth program well established now, and our internal programming has shifted over the years, and COVID certainly knocked us down a bit. But all of that is on top of the fact that in the middle of it all, we have to do a restoration project. And this is a wonderful, wonderful moment. You know, as we started back in really around 2010, 2011, looking at what the building was going to need next, we knew the roofs were going to be a problem. We were already experiencing some water damage and some really ancillary areas that no one ever saw, but we knew it was going to get worse. And as you mentioned in the intro, the building's coming up on 100 years old, and 100-year-old plumbing is not exactly the best in the world. So we knew we were going to have failures there. The theater for a few decades has had its issues, whether it's the mechanics of the stage system or the wiring, or people looking up at that gorgeous medallioned and tiled ceiling and seeing missing tiles or tiles that appear to be hanging and wondering, is that going to fall off and hit me? And, it's a legitimate if you don't know how it's put together and why it's doing that, but it's worn out in a lot of ways. Yeah. So this project, which is in the millions of dollars range, is being funded through the Department of General Services by a general state appropriation that finally came about under Governor Wolf and move forward now under Governor Shapiro's leadership. And the Department of General Services, with the leadership of the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission, designed this current project, which will consume upwards of $8 million when it's all said and done, and perhaps more if we're able to find it, because a building like this is never truly finished. You need to keep moving forward and explore the next region. But when we're done, the entire theater interior, ceiling, and walls will be restored to their original look and splendor. The grand ballroom, where we've had some peeling paint and plaster issues, will all have been repaired. As I mentioned earlier, the roofs and the gutter system have been completely removed and redone. All of the limestone on the exterior will be cleaned. Anything that's loose will be removed and replaced. A great number of the stained glass windows that weren't addressed in 2002 are already off-site and being restored by Bout Studios. It's an exciting time to be walking around the building. There's contractors and construction people here every day doing something.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible facility, John. I love it, and my son's wedding will be there this year, this summer, and we are thrilled, because I say to anyone who will listen that I raised my children while I worked at the Scranton Cultural Center, and Joanne was a dream of a boss because she allowed me to run and do as I then came back later in the night and spent the other time I had to with her. And there were often times we were leaving at 9 o'clock at night. So it was quite the time, but we had so much fun and so much got done. And then Matt, do you remember that time, John, when there was the damage in the steps going up to the theater, to the second floor, and there was literally a hole where you could see all of the levels of material that were used in the walls of the cultural center. Mm-hmm. And he would bring people over there and say, come on, I got to show you. There's brick and there's limestone and there's this and that. Look at them. You can see. And he was like so proud to tell everybody how well built this building is.
Yeah, he loved this building, both as a mason and a professional.
Go ahead. But John, you do too, because you're a mason as well. So there's so much love on both sides. But I want to ask, can you hang with us? Can you do another segment with us? We have a little bit more time on the back end. We have to take a break. Can you hold on? Okay.
Absolutely.
So hold on, everybody. We're going to continue this conversation with Mr. Cardone. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and we will be right back. Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Cadden. I'm the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises. It's a fundraising PR and special event business. And with me is Julie Diemel of Julie Diemel Communications. Jewel, go ahead, my friend.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com. And with this, we're going to continue this great conversation with Mr. John Cardone, who is the general manager and technical director of the Scranton Cultural Center. And John, we were talking about so much, but before we go on, I have to say this because I was trying to insert that earlier, especially when you were talking about the use of the facility and all of the things that happen under that roof. And you said a very sad, you know, on a sadder note, we do have some funerals. So I would be remiss if I did not mention our good friend, Mr. Fran McMullen, who has been a part of the Cultural Center for many, many years. One of your best friends and a phenomenal voice, great guy, and so beloved and with all of the staff and everything he did, and his beautiful wife, Carol. And I know how dear he was to you, John, and Carol continues to be with you and Agnes, and you take her under both of your wings and continue to make her fly. So thank God for that. But can you talk a little bit about Fran so we can give him a little people to understand what he did for you and the Cultural Center?
Yeah, Fran and I, we met back in the 1980s. I had come back to the area to open the Kirby Center in Wilkes-Barre, and I was singing with what was then the Wyoming Valley Oratorio Society and got invited to come up to the Singers Guild of Scranton. And it was one of those rehearsals where I ended up being seated next to him. And as I said in his eulogy, we quickly discovered that our love of music and our ability allowed us to sit back and make sarcastic, smart-ass comments under our breath during rehearsals. So we hit it off from the beginning, and then I was able to hire Fran to come work with me at the Kirby, and when I came up here in 2000, it took me a few years, but I eventually talked him into coming up here. His love of old mechanical things was unsurpassed in anyone I've ever met, and his appreciation for engineering of those days. Yeah, he was an avid collector, and Carol, if you're hearing this, don't choke on that. Basically, Fran collected in the way that a junior hoarder might. He'd get it all together in a space, and then he'd put more stuff on it and then sort it out later. But he collected things that were underappreciated in his book, and that could include, old automobiles or tractor parts or miners' lanterns, oscillating fans, and so on and so forth. But when Fran got here, I had maybe about a 9-year head start. And about a year later, he had familiarized himself with all of the buildings so that we had a shorthand. We could speak to each other across the desks, that we didn't need to finish sentences to get something addressed. Or he knew what I was speaking about, and I knew what he was referring to in a heartbeat. And sadly, my best friend and colleague developed a brain tumor, and it took him way, way too early. He continued to sing with a group that he helped found, the Lyric Consort, and he was able to continue that up through last spring. Singing and music were not secondary. They were an equal passion of his, and he and Carol sang together for all those years in that group, the Choral Society. It's a tremendous loss. Fran's institutional knowledge was only surpassed by probably mine. And I had sincerely hoped that he would be my legacy here, that he would step up when I retired, and wasn't to be. And we have some other talented people here now, Pat Toomey and Tiffany Atkins, who are taking the reins and learning their way through a lot of it. And they'll be fine. But Fran's loss to the community, to the Cultural Center, to me personally, I can't measure. I still talk to him. Carol decided to keep his email and Facebook posts running, not responding, just open. And so I still sent Fordham stuff that he would have been interested in seeing, and you know, because that's how we worked. And
that's right.
Fran was really the person who would delve down into the guts of one of the older 1930s systems and take it all apart and figure out what he needed, and then sadly forget about it for 6 weeks, and then oh wait, where did I put that? but part of the forgetting here is how busy we are, and as you mentioned, it's a very small staff. You know, we have something in the building probably 300 plus days a year. Whether that's a concert promoter or Broadway or the Masons having a meeting, wedding receptions, our youth program, there's just a lot of activity. So that means we've got to staff the building from 7 in the morning until 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the following morning, depending on the length of the event and cleanup. And that's day in and day out. You know, we, this business, you work holidays. You always had. And this place is no exception. And as it's become more and more popular, that becomes a challenge. We are a nonprofit, and I'll stress that we are a nonprofit. So certainly we're open to anyone's contributions of certainly money, but time. If you'd care to volunteer to be on one of our committees, board of directors is always looking for input. Every so often, you know, we have openings up in our docent program, our volunteers, the Red Coats, as they're lovingly called, the folks you see it as ushering at the events, but they also help serve as tour docents and monitors for the building for other small events. There's a few hundred of those, and they're always involved in some aspect. So a lot of things to do here, as you well remember.
Lots. And you know what, John, I was going to say that too. Just a little bit of hearing all the stuff that goes on and the fact that it is a not-for-profit organization. The fundraising aspect, you have a fundraiser coming up in May 1st now for the Curtain Call, which is a major event every year. And what that does is an event that will pay for something that needs to be done, such as last time was for the curtain. We started that, John, if you remember, many, many, many years ago with Cut the Rug, to get the new rug to match the original in the ladies or in the Casey Library. And now it's
Mrs.
done in the new curtain.
The leader of that.
Tracy Doherty, that's right. And so it was it's a great fundraiser. It's coming up. They're still looking, you know, if you're thinking about it, that's still something that's available, at least in a current, from a current standpoint. But any way you can help is a good thing, because this place is, Deb, you know, talks about how much money it costs, and I think it's to the tune of about $20,000 a week to operate. And the work that's being done there to bring that back up is you know, a lot of it, yes, is grant funded, but it has to kick off, or has to coincide with the capital campaign, which hopes to be done in the near future too, John, because that's the way that the additional funding is going to come through, correct?
Exactly. And, you know, the scope of what is left to be done is enormous. It's daunting if you try to just kind of get your arms all around it. But the good thing about this organization is that they've always been able to sit down and say, let's identify the next four priorities or five priorities and get those costed out and then go after that. And along the way, we find that maybe sometimes it's the fact that part of the boiler system broke down, and since we're going to have to spend some money, we'll go ahead and invest in upgrading the control system, and we'll do that on our own out of the Cultural Center reserves, or do, you know, specialty grant writing to try and find that. You know, this institution started with a grant through Governor Casey. There was an $8 million gift that we had to match and raise in the community, and we did. It took some time. And that initial $16 million combined brought air conditioning into the theater, new seats, upgraded the ballroom and air conditioned it, new furnishings, upgraded the kitchens, added public restrooms where there had been none, did a lot of stabilization for the building, upgraded all of the electric from the outside to the breaker panels so that we weren't working off of knife switches and fuses. And to honest to God, when I came in here, the power for this building was by going into a closet and throwing knife switches. And on a good day, I would come in and giggle like Dr. Frankenstein and then throw the switch. And that sort of stuff, and not the giggling, the restoration has continued ever since. We have spent roughly $25 million in a very short amount of time. The current funding from the state was a gross amount of $10 million, part of which has to be used to fund the architectural work and the study and parts for cost overruns. And by the time it was finally approved and moved through and we got after COVID and we got the project moving, we'd fallen well behind schedule. So the cost overruns on this are eating up the money a lot faster than we'd hoped. So we won't be able to do everything that we originally had anticipated. But even with that, we're doing things that need to be done. I'm happy to say we just finished installing a $350,000 sound system for the theater, which means we'll be more attractive to some of those concerts that bypass us, and it will provide an even, undisturbed sound throughout the theater for all of the shows. So our upcoming show next weekend, The Addams Family, will be the first show to actually utilize that, and it'll be used in a different format for the Friendly Sons of, Addams Family is this weekend. Friendly Sons of St. Patrick dinner is next weekend. It'll be utilized for that. And speaking of the Friendly Sons, I get the Society of Irish Women back here because, as you'll recall, you were here when Matt Flynn, Larry Nicholas, and his first catering job ever, and the Society of Irish Women held their dinner here. And that was a banner year. That was when the Mayor Doherty and,
Bob Casey?
Excuse me. Oh my gosh, why am I forgetting names here? The society the year before, I think, that had the then Senator Obama.
Speaker. At the Radisson.
And Mayor Doherty, not to be outdone, had Hillary Clinton marching hand in hand in the parade that year. Our annual parade day event. It was 70 degrees that year. I remember every door was open. People were rushing in and out. And that's another one of the things we do, the parade day party, which sadly will not happen this year because of scheduling changes that, were not part of our plan, but, the Addams Family had already been booked for the weekend. And the shows, when they come here, take up the ballroom space. So we cannot host it this year, but we plan to be back in full glory next year.
Yes, and we will. I would definitely love to revisit. It's just that if it is the 17th, they will be the same night. So it's always going to, this year, they're 2 days earlier than us. But we will see, because I will tell you that I thought it was the best place we've ever done was doing the event at the Cultural Center. So just, and not to blow smoke up your skirt, just because I really did. I think it's great. So we are going to leave you for the weekend, John, but I want to thank you so much for everything you've brought to light, to everyone to understand what's going on. Business is as usual. It's just work is being done at the same time, much like City Hall. Business as usual there, but they get a lot going on and a lot happening. And you know what? When you see that, you see progress. So look at it that way. It's all progress being made on a beautiful building. So we thank you so much for joining us.
Not at all.
Today.
Laurie, Julie, it's been a pleasure. With questions, visit us at sccmt.org on the web or give us a call. But thanks. Appreciate being on the show.
Oh, my God. More than happy to have you. This was great. So everyone else out there, have a wonderful weekend. Please thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts, as we always tell you, for listening to us. We thank you so much. And we will see you next week. Have a good weekend. Be safe. And please be nice. Bye.